Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Mem Vav. We left off on daf Kuf Mem Hem and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines before the lines get wide. Daf Kuf Mem He Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeir Amar Rav, Mai Dichsiv Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im. What does it refer to when the Pasuk says Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im? So says the Gemara, Zeh Bal Gemara, that's someone who learns a lot of Gemara. V'tov Lev Mishta Tamid, the other half of the Pasuk says, Tov Lev Mishta Tamid, Zebal Mishnah, that's a reference to someone who learns Mishnayis. Why is someone who learns Gemara considered to be in a bad spot? Someone who learns Mishnayis is doing something good, or not good, but something enjoyable. So says the Rashbam, that Gemara, Sugyas Gemara, Vitirutse Mishnayis Ubraisos, Vizel Ikra Gemara, Shimlo Gemara, Inlamid, no, that's. Zeubal Gemara, I'm sorry. Shememis atzma l'chavin halachos u'letarit havayos. Now, when a person learns Gemara, so it's very difficult because you got to work very hard in order to answer all the questions, in order to deal with all the difficulties in learning Gemara. So that's a Bal Gemara. Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid is a Bal Mishnah because Bal Mishnah is much easier. You just read through the Mishnayos. Rav Amar Ipcha, but Rav says no, it's the exact opposite. V'hainu d'amar of Misharshi Mishmei d'Rav Ma'idichsiv Masia Avanim Yatzav Behem Bokei Eitzim Yisakin Bam. What does that pasuk refer to? Masia Avanim Yatzav Behem Elu Bali Mishnah. That Bali Mishnah have more difficulty. Bokei Eitzim Yisakin Bam Elu Bali Gemara. Bali Gemara have an easier time. Why would you say the opposite? Why would you say Bali Mishnah have a difficult time and Bali Gemara is easier? So Rav says Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im refers to Bali Mishnah. So Rashbam explains because Bal Mishnah can't paskin halach l'maisa from his Mishnayis, right? Because all he knows is the basic teachings. So when there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, he doesn't know what to do about it because he didn't learn the Gemara. But the Bal Gemara, at least he has the satisfaction at the end of his limud, he knows what we hold. So at least he has the satisfaction that he's at least learned to davar shalim. He has a complete picture of the sugya. So that's why Bal Gemara is in a little bit better shape. The Maral explains that Rabbi Zeira understands the pasuk Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, referring to Bal Gemara because of the difficulty involved in answering all the kashas and dealing with all of the issues that come up with Gemara. Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid is the Baal Mishnah because there's no worries when you learn Mishnayos. All you do is you learn the Mishnayos as they're presented to you. And Rava holds the opposite, that a Baal Mishnah always has a difficult time because he doesn't get a geshmak in his limud. He doesn't have hana'ah from his limud. That's the primary issue over here. And that's why it says Masia Avanim Ye'at Sev, meaning that there's a certain lack of joy in the limud of Mishnayos. So limud Mishnayos is a tircha on a person. It's an all, he says. But Bali Talmud, because they're learning a Talmud which is a chachma that a person gets hana'ah from, there's a geshmak in learning Gemara, so it's called Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid. So what exactly the sad part of learning Mishnayos is seems to be Machlokas Maral and Rashbam. Rashbam emphasizes that it's sad because you can't get the Alach Lamaisa at the end. Whereas the Maral emphasizes that there's no geshmak, that there's no hana'ah. It's not the lack of the full picture or the simcha in your learning, it's that it's not the lack of the full picture in your learning. It's the simcha in your learning. It's how much geshmak you get in your learning. It seems to be two points of emphasis for the Rashbam and the Maral, because it's an interesting discussion the poskim have when you, let's say, make a siyum on Mishnayos. So is that a siyum? Is that a sudas mitzvah? To the extent that you make a siyum on Mishnayos on erev Pesach, is that going to exempt a bechor from fasting? So it may depend on what the point of a siyum is. If a siyum and which rishon you hold like. If a siyum is about accomplishment and knowing a davar shalem, so it could be that Mishnah by definition is not a davar shalem, because like the Rashbam says, you don't know how to paskin still at the end of the day. So it could be that even if you learn all the Mishnayos, but all you have is a bunch of shitos, you don't know how we really hold. So it could be that that would not suffice. If you hold it's about, a siyum is about, but according to the Rashbam, if it's about simcha, so then that's fine. But according to the Maral, no, if a siyum is about simcha, the great simcha in completing a limud, so then you have a problem, because in Mishnah there isn't such great simcha. Whereas according to whereas if it were about the accomplishment, so then according to the Maral it would be okay. So that would be an afkamina in terms of Mishnayos. There's a tshuva in the apart. Kasta da'anya, chelik aleph, simen kuf nun dalid, os gimel, he discusses this issue of a siyum mishnayis on for erev Pesach to exempt a bechor. And he says, he quotes whoever the Shoel was, that someone who only learns Mishnah says Bimisha Eini Yodea Tzurasa D'Shmaita, and he doesn't have any picture of what a Gemara is like, of like what the sugyas really are, because all he's doing is learning the Mishnah. So yes, it is Talmud Torah to learn such Mishnayos, but you can't make a siyum on that, the Shaul suggested. I disagree. Says, as long as you understand what you're learning, afilu eno shagur besugyas haGemara, even if you're not fluent in what the Gemara deals with on the Mishnah, Vade mitzvah rabba de Talmud Torah biyado. So you certainly have a great mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The gam b'chiyah gavna b'kudei Hashem yisharim misam chilev. And that alone gives simcha. When that's a kiyum Talmud Torah, and that's you're not wasting your time, you're learning, so it brings you to that same level of simcha, and if it brings you to that same level of simcha, it requires the same type of siyum. And he quotes our Gemara, he says, Tov lev Mishnah Tamid Elu Bali Mishnah, and even Rava, who thinks that Bali Mishnah is Kol Yimei Raim, is not Tov lev Mishnah Tamid, still he says, that doesn't apply to our Mishnahs. Rava's statement doesn't apply to Mishnahs the way we learn them, because what was Rava's whole emphasis? He quotes the Rashbam. Rava's whole emphasis is you're not going to know how to paskin in the end of the day. He said, Baruch Hashem, we have the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnahs, we have the Bar Tanura on the side of the Mishnahs, nowadays we have Kahati, right? You have art scroll, whatever, you have all different ways of knowing what the bottom line is supposed to be from the Mishnayos. So says the Aparakasa Da'anya, even if there was once a time where you could argue that learning Mishnayos you can't make a siyum, but no, nowadays you don't have none of that simcha is gone because we can't pass an halacha now because we have the Rav who tells us who the halacha is like in each and every Mishnah. So he says the full simcha is there when you make a siyum mishnayis. So siyum mishnayis, absolutely, he says, would count as a sudas mitzvah. It's interesting. So it would count as a sudas mitzvah. How much mishnayis do you have to learn? The Binyan Shlomo says, no, it's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Tov lev mishnah tamid is referring to someone who learns mishnayis. It's mishnah tamid. It's a party every day. Because you can learn a new masechta every single day and finish off a whole masechta each day. So good. So that's mishnah tamid. You could have a siyum on even a masechta of mishnayis. Others say no, masechta of mishnayis, that's a little small. You would need to do at least a seder of mishnayis, perhaps even all shisha sidre mishnah. But that's the issue. I saw recently also a discussion in the Shas Tshuvos for the Rashi v'Chakarta, Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Grossman, who deals with the issue of whether a katan who makes a siyum, whether he can, whether that can exempt a bechor from fasting, right? If is a katan siyum the same? So it would depend on what you view the siyum, the chiv of the siyum as. Do you view the chiv of the siyum or the simcha of the siyum? Is it the fact that a person was mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and it could be gadol mitzuv v'yosa yosim mishena mitzuv v'yosa, the katan is not mitzuv v'yosa, so the simcha of the mitzvah per se is not quite the same? Or do you say no, it's just the heftz of Talmud Torah is that it's a pekudei Hashem yishar misam chilev, is that it's a davar misameach, that learning Torah is something that inherently involves simcha, and that alone causes the chiyuv for the siyum. So which would certainly apply to a katan as well. There's a third possibility. There are many possibilities. Rav Soloveitchik in Harei Kedem points out that Reb Chaim used to want to get the Chasan Bereishis more than he would want to get Chasan Torah, because he held with raya's from the source of a siyum by Shlomo Melech that the ikar simcha of a siyum is not what you've already accomplished. It's what you're now prepared to accomplish. Is that learning a limud of an entire sefer lays the groundwork to really understand it the next time. And that's the greatest simcha, that when we finish the Torah, the greatest simcha is that now when we start with the Bereishis Bara again, it's going to be with deeper understanding. And that's the true simcha. So if that's the case, when a katan learns, and certainly when you learn Mishnayos, is there any more, you know, laying the groundwork and the foundations of limud than learning Mishnayos? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? You learn the Mishnayos so that if I have a picture of all the Mishnayos in the Masechta, when I learn the Gemara, it's going to be that much more meaningful. So if that's the ikar of a siyum, so you've completed a very critical stage of background, of laying the groundwork. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, last skinny line on Kuf Mem Hem Beis. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im Zesh Yesh Al Isha Ra'a. Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im refers to a guy who has a bad wife. The Tovlev Mishnah Tamid says Sheish Lisha Tova. Tovlev Mishnah Tamid refers to someone who has a good wife. Okay, Rabbi Yani Amar Kalimei Ani Ra'im Ze Istinis. Kalimei Ani Ra'im refers to someone who's an Istinis. He's a Mufunak. He's very particular about things. The Tovlev Mishnah Tamid says Shadaito Yafa. It's a person who's a little bit more easygoing. So he could deal with a lot more. So he's not going to be easily disgusted, and his life will basically be a happier life because of it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kalimei Ani Ra'im Ze Rachman. A Rachman always has a difficult time. Isn't Rachmanus a good midah? Why is it so difficult? So Rashbam, yeah, says it might be a good midah, but you see so many things. Kamama Ora'o Shaliba Bocha Tadir Lehen. Nebuch, you look around the world and you see all the illness people are dealing with, all the tragedy people are dealing with, and you can't get your mind off the hundreds of thousands of people who may have died in Haiti and everywhere. Just look around the world and you'll see that there's a lot of sadness out there. A Rachman is gonna have a difficult time dealing with all of it. V'tov lev mishnah tamid ze achzari, and an achzari has no problems, right? It doesn't mean necessarily that it's a good thing. It just means that it's the fact. He's not going to have as much difficulty with it. The Marsha explains that this relates to. Actually, let's read one more. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im Ze Shadaito Ktsara V'Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid Ze Shadaito Rechava. Right. So the Marsha explains that. Daito Ktsara means you have a short temper. Daito Rechava means you're much more patient. So the Marsha explains that this is based on the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. This Gemara fits beautifully with the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis, where the Gemara says Shlosha Chayehem Einon Chayim, that there are three people whose lives are ki'ilu, they're not worth living, it's so difficult, and they are harachmanim, harachtanim, va'anine adas. People of rachmanos, people who are easy to anger, and people who are big mufunakim. So he says that's exactly what we're referring to over here, that who are people whose lives aren't worth living, meaning that all their days are bad. So it lines up exactly with the last three shitos we just had. Rabbi Yane holds an istinis, an onen hada'as, is someone who has a difficult time. The Rabbi Yochanan says it's a rachman, and that's a remez on Shaul that was merachim and agag, that a rachman, Marsha tries to put a twist on it, that a rachman sometimes is a bad thing, right? The Gemara says that because Shaul had rachmanus when it didn't call for it, therefore he lost the malchus, meaning he had rachmanus when rachmanus should not have been had, and as a result, the Gemara says what you're going to end up having when you misapply the midah of rachmanus, what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have achzarius when you shouldn't have achzarius, and that's what happened with Shaul with Noviera Kohanim, that by the time Shaul got to Noviera Kohanim, he wiped out the whole city because he thought that they were protecting David, but in reality, that was misplaced achzarius. That was cruelty where he shouldn't have had it. Rabbi Shimon Levi darshins Misha Daito Ketzara, that's referring to someone who is easily angered, and that's Mosif Tipshus. It makes a person a moron when he gets angry so easily, and all sorts of Gehenim, Kol Mina Gehenim Sholtim, Brother Gemara says. So as opposed to someone who's Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid, who doesn't easily get angry, is going to have a much more enjoyable life if you don't get angry, if you don't sweat the small stuff, you don't get angry about every little thing. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ram Rabbi Shimon Levi, top of Puf Mem Vavam Ralev, Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, Vayika Shabbos V'yom Tovim. How could the Pasuk say, Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, that all the days of an Ani are bad? Isn't there Shabbos and Yantif? That's not so bad. Those are good days. How can you refer to those days as objectively Ra? Answers the Gemara, Kedush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Shinri Vesas Tchilas Choli. Then no, that Shmuel says that people who have a difficult week, when they try to enjoy Shabbos and eat special foods for Shabbos, they end up getting sick, because changing your habits, your eating habits, gets a person sick. It's not so much about what you eat, it's about what you're used to eating. So since it's going to be different for a person on Shabbos, even though he may be eating fine food, if he's not used to fine food, it could be very bad for him. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person who fasts every day and then eats on Shabbos, so Shabbos is going to be tsar hulo. It's going to be difficult for him, Shulchan Aruch says, because it's a change of his normal habit. So he says, Yeshomrin, that kama chasidim and anshe maisa fasted on Shabbos because of that reason. And Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid did that. He would fast on Shabbos because by eating on Shabbos, it was a shinui v'ases for him, and it would cause him to get sick. So Rav Reuven Margolios explains in the Sefer Nefesh Chaya, Rav Reuven Margolios writes that that's why many people have the minhag that they taste a little bit of the Shabbos food before Shabbos. What's the point of tasting a little bit of the Shabbos food before Shabbos? Because if you suddenly have food that's different than the food you eat the rest of the week, so it could get you sick. So you want to get that out of the way on Erev Shabbos, so that by the time Shabbos comes along, you should be a little bit used to it, so that you could just enjoy the enjoyable element of it without having to deal with the Chalim Ayim, with whatever sickness might come up as a result of that. That minhag of tasting the food before Shabbos is also quoted in the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Sim Reish Pei Vav in the name of the Shibali Aleket, and the Mishnah Berurah says that it's a mitzvah to taste from the food on Erev Shabbos to make sure that it tastes good, to make sure that everything is good, because you could still fix it on Erev Shabbos. Once Shabbos comes along, it's more difficult to fix it. So what's the nafkamina between the reason of Rav Ruvin Margolios and the reason of Mishnah Berurah? Nafkamina is if you don't know how to cook. Right, I could taste the food, it's not going to do much, right? Because I don't know how to fix it. Or let's say my wife isn't home, there's no one that's capable of fixing it that I could tell. So if you hold it, no, it's just to get you used to the food, so then you should have, even if you don't know how to cook, even if you're not going to fix it, if you have a cold or whatever, so you don't taste it anyway. But if it's about tasting it, just to know how it tastes, to know if it's good or not, so then meaning again, if it's to know whether it's good or not, so then only if there's something you could do about it, it's worth tasting. If it's get used to it, then even if there's nothing you could do about it, it's still worth tasting. The Chiddush HaRim says that this could be understood not only about food, but we say an ani is an ani hadas, and the Gemara says, what do you mean on Shabbos? How could you say kol yimei ani ra'im, that all the days of an ani are bad? On Shabbos, everyone is given this neshama yisera, which expands his level of das, so don't worry, it's not so bad. So the Gemara says, no, shinut vesas hitchilas chol yimei, that when a person changes his normal habits, so it's going to lead him to a beten gadol, which Chiddush HaRim says that refers to gaiva, that gaiva is going to overpower whatever chachma he may have otherwise had because of Shabbos. Okay, fine, that's all derech drush, obviously. Says the Gemara Vayter, k'siv b'sefer ben Sira, it says in Sefer ben Sira, kol yimei ani ra'im, ben Sira omer af leilos. Not only are the days of an ani bad, the night times of an ani are bad also. B'shval gagim gago, his roof is the lowest of all roofs in the neighborhood. Mimatar gagim gago, so everyone in the rain of everyone else's roof drips down onto his roof. Barom Harim Karmo, on the highest mountains is where his vineyard is. Me'afar Karmo Lekramim, and therefore the dirt comes and ruins his vineyard because it gets blown by the wind up on the highest mountains. So he's always in the worst spot. The ani, even at nighttime, has difficulty. You know, the Shlomo Mel says at nighttime you could sleep. The ani is okay because at least he has menucha. But the Sefer Ben Sira says no. Even at nighttime it's bad because at nighttime, he's got to deal with the dripping on the roof and all the water coming in, so it's never even a restful sleep. The Hafla asks, wait a second, the Gemara Masechas Brachos tells us that Ben Zoma holds Kol Yimei, right? Kol Yimecha, we say in the Haggadah, is Larabos Aflelos, right? Comes to include nighttime as well. So the Lashon Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, so shouldn't that be like Ben Sira, right? Shouldn't that include the nighttime also? Why does the Gemara assume, or Shlomo Melch assume, not like Ben Sira? It's obvious. Kol Yimei, right? Ben Zoma Darshins, that it means Af Halelos. So the Hafla says that the Gemara is talking that even according to the Das Chacham, who disagree with Ben Zoma and hold that Kol Yimei is the Rabbis Yimosha Mashiach and is not Kol Halelos, that's why we have to say from the Pasuk of Ben Sira that even Lelos are bad. Because from Shlomo Melch, you would. The Chachamim would not darshan Shlomo Melch's pasuk of Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im to be referring to nighttime. The Chachamim would be referring to Tolam Haba or whatever. But Ben Sira comes along and adds the nighttime as well. For the Sheet of the Chacham, for Ben Zoma and Echanami, Ben Zoma probably would have darshaned the pasuk of Shlomo Melech of Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im to refer to nighttime anyway. But at least according to the Chachamim, you need the Ben Sira to add in nighttime. Okay, says the Mishnah, Hashalech Sivlonos LeBeis Chama, if someone sends Sivlonos, he sends gifts to his father-in-law's house, Shalach Shameya Mana Va'achal Shem Sudas Chaslan, so if he sent 100 mana there, and he eats a Sudas Chaslan there, Afilu Bedinar, even if he only ate one dinar's worth of food, Eino Nigvin, he can no longer collect back those gifts. Even if the wedding gets cancelled,
you can't collect back those gifts. Lo'achal sham sudas chasen areilu nigvin. If he didn't enjoy his sudas chasen there, then he can collect back the gifts. Shalach sivlonos merubin shiachzuri malabeis bala areilu nigvin. If he sends her a large amount of gifts, to the extent that he was planning on her bringing them into the marriage with her, that she can't use them all while she's still be'erisin, so then he can recollect them, because he was never mi'ayish on them. He always planned on getting them back. Why does it matter how many they are? Savonus Merubin, shouldn't it just matter whether he plans on getting them back? So Rashbam writes, Shalach Savonus Merubin upirish kedeshi avoi malabeis bala. Meaning the point is that he tells her, I want you to bring these back with you when we get married. And therefore, v'hu adin l'muatin im shalchan l'kach. It's the same would be true if it wasn't so many gifts. If that was the tanai, explicit tanai in the gift, that's what it means. That's what she has to do, and it would be collectible. Ela orcha de milsa nakat merubim ragil l'shloach l'farish kedeshi avoi malabeis bala. It's just Orcha de Milsa. That's a typical case. Normally, when you're sending a large quantity, it's because you plan on her bringing some of it back into the marriage. When you send a small quantity, it's because you don't plan on having her bring it back into the marriage. But it's not dafka merubin and muatin. It's just that's the case. The Mishnah gives the most common case. Sivlonos muatin. If he sends a small amount of gifts, shetshamish ben besavia, where the plan is for her to use them exclusively while she's still in her father's house, not to bring it back into the nisuin. A nikvin, then he cannot collect those gifts upon the marriage, or upon the cancellation of the marriage. Amar Rava, so says Rava, dafka dinar. It's only if the guy ate a dinar that he therefore forfeits the right to recollect those gifts. Avul pachas mi dinar lo. But if he ate less than a dinar, then he still retains the rights. So says Gemara, pshita, dinar tanan. Of course, we know how to read. The Mishnah says dinar, so obviously it means a dinar, no less than a dinar. What are you being mechadish to us, Rava? So the Gemara answers, I might have thought that really even less than a dinar. Why does it mention a dinar? Because that's typically what people would eat. But it's not dafka how much you eat, even if you have just a tiny drop. That would be enough to assume that the guy is mochel on the sivlonos. Kamash Milan therefore comes to tell me that no, the Mishnah is being very precise. It's dafka if you eat a dinar. That's what Rav is coming to be mechadesh. So says the Gemara Vayter, Achal Tnan. It says in the Mishnah if he eats. Shasamai, what if he just drinks in the Beis Chamav? Would that be enough for him to be mochel? Hu tanan, shluchomai. It says if he eats, what if his shliach goes and eats? Sham tanan, it says that if he eats it there in the Beis Chamav. Shagarlomai, what if they send it to him and he doesn't eat it there? They send him food from the Beis Chamav. Then what's the halacha? Do we assume he's mochel in the Sivlanos? So Tashema, Dam Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Maisa Ba Demecha, there was a story of a guy, Shashagal Beis Chamav, Meir Kronos, Shalkade Yayim, Shalkade Shem, Shalkade Kasef. He delivered to the Beis Chamav 100 wagons full of jugs of wine, and jugs of oil, and clay kesef, and shel clay zahav, and gold kelim, and silver kelim, the shel clay milas, and fine silk, v'rachav b'simchaso, and he was riding with great simcha, and he was, that he was bringing all this stuff, v'halach v'amar al pesach beis chamav, and then he stood right by the doorway to his future father-in-law's house, v'otziu kol shel chamin v'shasa, and they brought him out a nice cup of hot tea, and he drank from it, v'meis, and he died on the spot. So now what's the din? Do we assume he's mochel the sivlonos? I mean, this was the shiloh. We asked three shilohs, right? We said, what if he doesn't drink? Okay, in this case, he did drink. What if he drinks and doesn't eat, though? So that was this case. And what if he doesn't go into the Beis Chamav? They send it to him. Right? So says Mar, v'zu halacha hel Rabbi Acha sarah biru lefnei chacham l'usha. They asked the chachamim in Usha what you do about this case. Now, why dafka in Usha? So the Rashbam points out that this is one of the Esther Golios. Shagalsa Sanhedrin was to Usha. So at that time, the Sanhedrin was in Usha. So they sent it to the highest court in the land. Va'amru, what do they say? Sivlonos asuyin livelos e nigvin, v'shem asuyin livelos nigvin. Whatever sivlonos are not going to get worn out, and therefore are going to get worn out, and therefore you don't plan on her bringing them back to you when you get married, you cannot collect them. But she'en asuyin livelos nigvin. But those that are not going to get worn out, you can collect. So what are we trying to prove from that? Says Rashbam in the third wide line, that they're going to get worn out before the nisun, because those we assume are already machul by the time you ate. So apparently the chamim are saying that the guy was that whatever eating does, him drinking this cup of hot stuff that they brought out for him is just as good as eating. So says the Gemara, Good, so you see that drinking counts as much as eating. That answers one of our questions. And also, shamina filu pachas midinar. You also see that even if you eat less than a dinar's worth, because how much could the cup of tea been worth? It had to be less than a dinar. So Amar Vashi, man leimelon delo shachil amarganisa, deshavi alfi zuzi vashke. Says Amar, no, you don't see anything about less than a dinar. That cup might have been worth $1 million. They might have taken the most precious pearl in the world, ground it up, and mixed it into his tea for him. And that might have been a very expensive tea. So it might have been worth more than a dinar. That might have killed him if that's what they did also. But that might have been a very expensive cup of tea. And that's why don't be medayik anything about less than a dinar. And Shamina, Afilu Shagrilo, says Amar, okay, but what we do see from here is even if he never went into the house, even if they sent it to him, says Gemara, nah, that's not a good raya either. Dilma kal pesach peis chamav, ka peis chamav dummy. Maybe standing at the doorstep is good enough, meaning that counts as being in the house. That's not called they send it to you and your mom is right there at the doorstep. Sending to you is when you stay home. So frankly, Gemara, what's the din about being mishalish? What does that mean? So Tosus explains, Rashbam doesn't say a word over here. Tosus explains, what does it mean to be mishalish? Pirusha milsa de ravakai, damar dafka achal dinar, vapachs mi dinar lo. Rava said, only if you eat a dinar are you considered to be mochel in the savlono. So you eat less than a dinar, you're not. V'ka'amar, mochel pachs mi dinar, ma'usha tigva, l'fi ma'asha achal sham, achal chatzi dinar tigva achatzi. What if you eat half a dinar's worth? Can you then collect back half of your savlonos? Or do we assume it's all or nothing? You eat a dinar's worth, you can't collect back anything. You don't eat a dinar's worth, you can collect back everything. Or do we assume, no, you eat a half a dinar's worth, you collect back half. Right? What's the din? So shevach savlonos ma'u. And what's the din if the savlonos go up in value? What happens to that increase in value? Kivin di isun l'didei hadri b'rishusei shavuach. Do we assume that since if they are his, they go back to him, so it's considered to be in his rishus. Do we assume that since if they were to get stolen or lost, you'd have to pay back, so therefore it's considered in her rishus? Teku, the Gemara leaves it unanswered. What if the savlonos were supposed to get worn out and therefore the chasen wasn't planning on having them brought back into the marriage, right, when they get married, but as it turned out, they didn't get worn out. They're still perfectly intact. So then what's the din? Do we assume he's mochel on those savlonos or not? So tashema, raya number one, zu halacha hel rav achas harabir lefnei chacham b'usha, they brought this halacha to usha, va'amru savlonos asun libalos, ein nigvin, that savlonos that are supposed to get worn out, you cannot collect, v'shein asun libalos nigvin, and those that are not supposed to get worn out, you can collect. My love, afagav de lo balu, isn't it all dependent on whether they were supposed to or not supposed to get worn out? It doesn't matter whether they actually got worn out or not. So it says in Gemara, low, that doesn't prove anything. Debalu, maybe we're talking about a case where it's not only about what they were supposed to do, we're talking in a case where they actually got worn out, not just where they were supposed to get worn out. Tashmal tried to bring another raya. Savlonos muatin shetishamish ben vibibesavia ein nigvin. As the Mishnah said, that if he gives a small amount of savlonos that she's supposed to use in her father's house, so then he can't recollect those. So don't you see that in the case of our Mishnah, we're assuming that he wouldn't be mochel something that would not get worn out. So Tirgum Rava b'yeva v'savchasa. So Rava says no. Maybe that's talking about things that are very small and not worth so much, and a person is mochel them completely, whether they're balu or not balu. But when it comes to tachshitin, when it comes to things that are more expensive, that are more valuable, only if they're balu, only if they actually get worn out, is he mochel them. If they don't actually get worn out, maybe he wouldn't be mochel them. Fine. Amar Rav Yudah Rav, Maisa Bad Mecha. The Gemara says, okay, let's tell an important story. There was a story, Shishagar L'Beis Chama, of a guy who sent to his father-in-law's house, Yayin Chadash, V'Shemen Chadash. He sent new wine and new oil, Uklei Pishton Chadash, and brand new Klei Pishton Bat Seres, right around Shavuot's time. And that's the end of the story. So, frankly, Gemara, Mike Mashmalan, that's a nice story of a guy sending gifts. That happens every day, probably. People send gifts. What's the chiddush of that story? So says Gemara, Iba yisema chashivus d'Eretz Yisrael kamashmalan. It could be it's telling us the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. How's it telling us the greatness of Eretz Yisrael? Because that the peros are already ripened by Shavuos time. He's sending wine and oil that came from ripened grapes and olives already by Shavuos time. So that's the shevach of Eretz Yisrael. Iba yisema d'itan taina se taina. Or it's coming to tell me that if a guy makes a taina, look, I sent sivlonos of yayin and shemen, and it was Shavuos time, and we can't tell him, come on, Shavuos time, there's no wine and oil, Yayin Chadash and Shemen Chadash around Shavuos time. No, the story is telling us that yes, there is. That because Eretz Yisrael is so wonderful, there is there are such, it's a valid taita. You have to listen to a guy when he says he sends such sivlonos. It requires further research to see if he's telling the truth.
There
was a story where a guy's wife told him that she doesn't have a sense of smell, that she lost her sense of smell. Now that's a terrible moment if she doesn't have the sense of smell. So he wanted to test her out to see if she's just trying to get out of the marriage, she's just trying to trick him. So he wanted to check. So
he says, "Ah, I smell that radish."
What's he doing? So Rashbam says at the bottom, "Lenasosim tariach, shemitoch tvara nikrim tariach." He, based on the way she responds, he'll be able to know, does she really smell it or not? Valtznon shemitoch chiko amar, he actually had a radish in his pocket.
Lishna dem farishak osevis haya imo, lekach amar la reach tznon, ledasim toshivenu davar, lama reach osevis ani maricha, velo reach tznon.
And others say that, no, he didn't have a radish with him, he had a date, which is the exact opposite smell of a radish. It's not sharp, it's sweet, right? So what did he do? He had a date with her, with him, and he said, "I smell radishes." And he wanted to know if she would say, "Radishes? I smell dates." Right? So he was trying to see, did she really lose her sense of smell, or did she not lose her sense of smell? So again, two deos, when we have to see how to read the Hemshech Gemara based on these two deos. Was he really holding a radish, or was he holding a date? Right? So Amrulay, so she says to him, "Bederech schok, man yahiv lan mikosvos diyericha v'chalmabei. Ah, you smell a radish? I wish I had dates that I could eat together with that radish, because the date, the sweet taste of the date would balance the taste of that radish." Meaning, obviously, hinting to the fact that she knew that dates were involved in some way. So Rashbam understands, Shein matukim v'nechal imatznon shu chad, right? Dates go with radishes because they balance each other out. Shekeinah yidarkan lechal tamarim imatznon shu zechad v'zematokim v'sakin zezeh. So that's according to the Lashon that he was holding a radish. She said, "Yeah, those radishes, I smell those too. I wish I had a date to go along with that radish." But according to the Lashon, that he actually had a date, she was saying to him, I smell dates, I don't smell radishes. I mean, she was saying she was really able to smell. Anyway, nafal lachurbu mesa, right then she died. The building came in on them and she died. So Amr Chacham Hovlo Nichnasakhra el Lobotka Mesa in Yarsha. Since he went to test her, so he's not gonna yarshin her. Since he brought her in just to test her to see if she did smell or didn't smell, so he lost the right to yarshin her. What in the world is going on? Why does he lose the right to yarshin her? So Tosa says two possibilities. He quotes his daya and the Rashbam's daya. First, his. He says, "Pirush Rabbeinu Yaakov deba arusa mayri." We're talking about an arusa, and he wanted to know if she's really a tosranis or not. Because if she's not a tosranis, if she didn't lose her sense of smell, he would marry her, right? So since he was only coming to be bodiker, and the point is that when he brought her into this korva that belonged to him, it wasn't l'shem nisuin. Normally, you bring her into a room that belongs to you. That's what we call nisuin, right? You nichnas al chuppah. You bring her into the chuppah. That's called nisuin. The Gemara Ksuba says even if she's on the way to go to the Beis Chasan, and on the way he stops off in a hut and he brings her into a hut that belongs to him, that's nisuin. But over here, since he didn't bring her into the room for nisuin, he brought her into the room just to check, just to test her. So therefore, it wouldn't have a din of nisuin. And only once you have nisuin does a husband yarshin his wife. So that's what the Gemara is saying. He doesn't yarshin because they don't have nisuin yet. Rashbam says no, they already had nisuin. The point is that he was thinking about divorcing her. That if she lost her sense of smell, he was going to divorce her. And the halacha is, Nasa Nein of Lagarsha, says Rashbam, you see from here, that Nasa Nein of Lagarsha and the Shuvenu Yarsha, that as soon as you decide, you plan on divorcing her, then you're not going to Yarshan her anymore. And that's what the Gemara is emphasizing. Since he brought her into the room, right, so now he's not going to be able to yarshin her because he brought her in to test her. Why? Because he's planning on divorcing her. He's thinking about divorcing her. Rashbam says, "Mehasha minan shemis shemesa ishto mitoch ketata." That if a man's wife dies while they're fighting, says Rashbam, what you see from here is sheyesh b'day to legarsha shuveni yarsha. So then he's not going to yarshin her anymore. That's an unbelievable chiddush. No, husbands and wives fight all the time. That's the psychologists say that's an important part of marriage. That it gets boring if you don't argue once in a while. That keeps a marriage healthy when there are disagreements. You have to learn how to work through them. But that's a little bit difficult. So Rashbam says, no, the fight would have to be bad enough that he's really nasanin of Lagarsha, that he's not thinking to himself, okay, we'll make up later. He's thinking, this is really bad. I'm going to have to divorce her. But anyway, that's the machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos. What exactly is going on over here? Did they have any soon? Did they not have any soon? The Chavos Yoyer is a fascinating tshuva. He quotes this Gemara in the context of a tshuva of a bachur who wanted to cancel a shidduch. He never met the kala, but they made a shidduch between them. And he suggested that he wanted to cancel the shidduch because the girl is a balas mum. Why is she a balas mum? She is la chotem aruch yosem min ha-ra'i. She has too big a nose. He didn't like her nose. So hu shir etzba ketana shela, it was as long as her pinky. Like, I guess going out, it was as long as her pinky. So she had a very long nose. So he wanted to know, look, it's a mum, he said, I don't want to, right? So the Chavis Yair says, first of all, you want to marry a Jewish girl? Get used to big noses. Jews have long noses. Second of all, he said, I'm not making it up, he actually says that. Second of all, he says, it depends on, is it ridiculous? Is it something that, like, she can't walk down the street, everyone laughs when points when she walks down the street, or is it just normal? Everyone looks different. Everyone has different facial features. People look different. You can't go crazy about something like that. He says, you know what kind of mum by your nose is really a mum? If she can't smell. What's the raya? Babasar kuf memvav. That's what's really a mum. And even then, he said, that would only be a mum on a woman, not on a man, if she can't smell. Why? Because the whole idea of smell is to help her. What's the context of our Gemara? What happened? The guy says, I smell the radish. She says, you know what would go very good with the radish? The flavor would be balanced by dates. Meaning the sense of smell is very closely associated with the sense of taste. She's going to be cooking all the meals. She needs to have the sense of smell in order to know what's good, what's not good. So for a woman, it's going to be a mum. For a man, it's not going to be a mum if he's not going to be doing the cooking, if it's not his responsibility to do the cooking. Just a very fascinating tshuva. Okay, says the Mishnah. I'm sorry, says the Gemara Vayter. Sivlonos Martin Shachar Shem Beis Aviyah. If he sends her a small amount of Sivlonos that the plan is for her to use while she's still in her father's house, so then we assume that he's Mochel those Sivlonos. Yasiv Ravin Sabah Kamed Rav Papa Vyasiv Kamar Bain Shemesahi Bain Shemes Hu. Hadar Hu, whether it is that she died, or he backed out on the marriage, Sivlonos Hadri, Machal Mishtalo Hadar. The Sivlonos go back, but the food and drink does not go back. Hadra Ba'ihi, if she backs out on the marriage, Hadra Filu Kisha Diarka, then even the food that was eaten has to be returned. However, when we figure out how much the food has to be returned to him, you only evaluate at the cheapest price of food, not what was actually consumed. Ad kama bazil, how do you figure out the cheapest price? Ad tilsa, you deduct one third. Says the Rashbam, the second medium-sized line, v'shamla and basar bazil, kishiyachzru ochel umashke she'achilam v'hishkeim, when you return the food that he had given, that he had supplied her family with, yashamu bazil, you do a low level evaluation of the value of the food, can mefarish the kamei lepachol shlish midamav, to take off, to deduct one third of the price. Shebe inyan zeh shaman kol machzir nochum anachol mitchila shlo ludas chazara shilu hayodeh shetzaruch lachzir lo ya ochel mishalo umi bezul mi amachzir. Meaning the point is, had anyone known that this food was going to have to be returned, they wouldn't have pigged out so much. They would have eaten with a little more caution. They didn't realize they're going to have to pay for this, right? So therefore, you only pay back the lesser amount. You don't have to pay back the full amount of the value of the food. Fine, period. New Mishnah. Shchimra shekazav kol nechazav la'acherim v'shir karka kol shuhum matanas okayemes. If a shchimra writes over all of his nechazim to other people, except for a little bit, he leaves a little bit for himself. So he's on his deathbed, and he decides he's going to give gifts, lots of gifts, to almost all of his estate, except he leaves over a little bit for himself. And then he gets better. And now all he's got is this little bit that he left over. Halacha is too bad. You gave away those gifts. By the fact that you left a little bit for yourself, that shows, that's an indication, when you leave a little bit for yourself, that you were serious about giving the gifts, whether you get better or not. Because if you really thought you were only giving it because you're dying, then you would have given everything. Lo shir karko kol shu ein matanos l'kayemes. If he leaves over nothing, then we assume the matana is not going to stand if he gets better. Because if he leaves over nothing, then we assume he only gave that gift al menas that he's going to die. Says the Gemara, Man tana dazin basar umdana. Who's the one that says that we follow an umdana, that we try to figure out what's going through his head, and we play mind games? We say, okay, if what's going through his head is that he plans on giving this only because he's dying, so then when he gets better, we're going to let him keep everything, and it won't be a matana. How do we know that we're allowed to read people's minds? Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Where do we see that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh? The following, Ditanya harei shahalach b'nol l'medina siyam. A guy's son goes off on a trip somewhere. And then he hears that his son died. Right? Word comes back that his son is dead. So he goes and he writes over all of his nechasim to give to somebody else, because he assumes his son is dead. And then next day, his son comes in. Hi, Dad, I'm home. right? So does this other guy, this third party, get all of that, all of the Yerusha? So Matana, so Matana. The assumption is, Tanakama says, the Matana is still valid. You gave it as a Matana to somebody else. You can't be an Indian giver. You can't take it back. Reb Shimon Menashe Omer, no. Ain Matana, so Matana. Shul Mali Yodeh Shabno Kayim Lo Yekosvan. Look, had he known that his son was alive, he never would have written over this gift. He only did it because he thought his son was dead. And therefore, we're allowed to read his mind, even though he never made it explicit tonight. It's obvious that he only did that because he thought that his son was dead. And therefore, that umdana is good enough. It says the Gemara, Rav Sheisha Sam Rav Shimon Shazurihi. We have another shita that goes basar umdana, and that's Rav Shimon Shazuri. Titani, we have a price of Rishon Yom Rayatsu, we call They used to say that someone was going to be killed, and he says, write a get for my wife. So do we write a get and then not give it to her? He only said write, he never said give. So, no, we used to assume that, yeah, that you write and you give it, because he was just a little preoccupied. You forgive him for not saying the proper formulation. But he meant to write and to give. Then they said, not only if you're going to be killed, even if you're just going on a trip and you say write, it means write and give. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Afam Sukan, even if he's just in a dangerous situation, still, if he says write, it means write and give. Rav Nachman, my time in Lamakum like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, why does Rav Nachman not agree with Rabbi Shimon Shazuri that even a Masukan, who is close to death, when he says write a get means write and give it? Shiny hasam damar kisfu. So says the Gemara, because over there it's when he says write it, he's megala das that he only wants it written, that he doesn't want it given. But that's not necessarily a symbol of umdina always. That's why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't use the example of Rishim Shazuri to show that we go basar umdina. Rav Sheshes my time lo mukum lak Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Why does Rav Sheshes not use Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya as the example of aslin basar umdina? Says Gemara, umdina demuchak shiny. Because when your son goes away and you hear he's dead, then it's a very obvious umdana that you're only giving away this matana because you think your son's not alive. But if the umdana were less obvious, like write a get for my wife, then maybe you wouldn't go basar umdana. So that's why each one quotes a different tana to be the example of azlina and basar umdana.